IWS, Impulsgeber für den Mittelstand. 3 Fragen, 3 Minuten zwischen Wirtschaft und Politik.
Setting impulses for a performant economy. Welcome to the podcast of the IWS Internationaler Wirtschaftssenat. Hi, my name is Thomas Limburger. In our first episode of 3 Questions, 3 Minutes, it's all about the topic Brexit. What's next? We warmly welcome Thomas Matusek, German Ambassador and Vice President of the IWS, in the Brexit dialogue with our special guest today, Sir Julian King, UK Commissioner from 2016 to 2019, British diplomat with over 30 years of experience working on international and multilateral issues. Enjoy listening to our first episode.
Thank you, Thomas. Hello, Julian. Thanks for doing this as a little appetizer to our conference on March the 3rd. I'll fire away with my first question. Now, Brexit is done. We have the CTA, the Comprehensive Trade Agreement. However, I read in the newspapers, I watch on television, fish and seafood rotting at the quayside in Scottish harbour towns. I see hundreds of trucks which transport regularly foodstuff between the EU and Britain coming back empty because people do not want to go through all the avalanche of paperwork, of red tape, so I think isn't worth it. And worst of all, I read recently that even EU tariff inspectors are being harassed in Northern Ireland's harbour towns. Now, is this the new normal we got to get used to, or are these just the teething problems the Prime Minister talked about?
So the short answer is both. Some of this is teething problems. Especially some of the things to do with paperwork that you rightly refer to. But obviously quite a lot of it is structural. The UK has left the single market and the customs union, and various things flew from that, structural things that won't be resolved by smoothing out some of the paperwork. There will be barriers at borders. And in addition to that, as you know, there are other structural issues that we're going to have to work our way through. There are outstanding questions not yet resolved around financial services equivalence, data adequacy, although that process has started, it's not resolved. And then there's the question of managing divergence as we go forward. As a number of people have said, including Prime Minister Johnson, Brexit is about divergence. As the TCA sets out, divergence is possible, but it comes with consequences. How are you going to manage that process over the coming months and years? And lastly, but by no means least, there are some questions around governance of this new arrangement, this new partnership, which are unclear. There's lots, as you read through the TCA, of provisions for suspension, termination, review. There are votes to be had, including, you mentioned Northern Ireland, a vote in the Northern Ireland Parliament, the Assembly, on whether they want to continue with that protocol. And those things, even though they don't come for a few years, are definitely already casting their shadow forward. So those are the things that we need to look at.
Well, that's quite a tall order. But let me pick up one particular point you mentioned, financial services. Not covered by the TCA. I mean, as far as I remember from my time in the UK, this is the pride, the price of Britain, the city of London, a shining city on the hill, so to speak. Now, with Brexit, the city, the banks, the financial institutions lose their passporting rights. That means they cannot automatically do business in the EU. Is this the beginning of the end of the City of London as a global financial center?
So when you say the city, I'm assuming you're talking about London rather than Frankfurt or any other city.
Right.
So I think the reports of the death of the City of London, as Mark Twain might have said, are greatly exaggerated. I mean, some things will change, but some things will stay the same. You know them very well. The time zone, the language, the deep experience and expertise, the legal framework, the deep pool of capital and availability of capital, the tradition of innovation, whether that is in fintech or green finance or whatever new frontier, those things are not going to change overnight. Now, some things are changing and will change. Some business has moved already. You're referring to that. Equities, some of the equities trading's gone onshore into the European Union. Some of the derivatives trading has gone offshore to New York. And those kind of changes will take place. We don't know yet exactly what's going to happen on equivalence, but if it happens, it's going to be a thin arrangement, not a deep, thick arrangement. How is that going to work in practice? We don't know yet how people are going to weigh up the balance of competitiveness. Now, each of the European financial centers could go their own way, or they could choose to find ways to cooperate, including on some of that innovative new financial tech and green finance issues, because if they don't, they only risk greater competition from Asia and the States. So I think this is an area to watch, but don't assume that the conclusion is already written.
Okay. Now, Julian, you quite rightly said we don't know yet. And I know that predictions are difficult, especially as the future is concerned. But just for a moment, take out your crystal ball and just imagine, where would Britain be in 10 years' time? Would it reapply for the EU? Will Scotland be independent? Will Ireland be reunited? Just have a guess.
I'm tempted to say, a la Margaret Thatcher, no, no, no. But with less certainty, perhaps, than she had at the time. So I'm pretty clear, if you're in a 10-year time horizon, that the UK will not be seeking to rejoin the European Union. It's too deep. It's too complicated. There's too much to work through internally. But there will be a question. We've already touched upon it. Of what is the nature of the relationship between the UK outside and the European Union? I think that the questions around Ireland are on a longer time scale, because again, as you know very well, there's a lot of history, it's very complicated. There are some very difficult community relations in Northern Ireland. And there's a question, it's a bit crude to mention, but there's a question of money. The United Kingdom gives a subvention to Northern Ireland that is worth more than 10 billion sterling a year. That would be a lot for the Republic of Ireland to take on. So there's a lot of issues to be worked through, and I think they would take a fair amount of time to work through. And I see that the government in Dublin are taking a long-term approach to this, about building a dialogue between the Republic and Northern Ireland. Scotland, well, that's the one that we all need to watch. I'm going to say it's too early to tell, because we haven't yet had the elections in Scotland, which are due in May this year. Come back to me after those elections. When we see the results, when we see how firm the position of the SNP, the ruling party in Scotland, is, what they say about the prospect of a referendum, and what Prime Minister Johnson says in response. Nobody, I think, wants another situation like we have in Spain between Madrid and Catalonia. But this question isn't going away. It's the one where I'm least sure of the three that you ask.
Well, thank you so much, Julian. I think these 3 minutes could have gone easily on for 3 hours.
Well, so we're going to get a chance, aren't we?
That's right. I think it's a great appetizer for our conference on March the 3rd. At 7:15 p.m. European time, 6:15 p.m. London time. Right. And I think we are in for a great chat. Looking forward to it. And thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to it tremendously. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.